I would encourage you to get a Bible out and to open to Matthew chapter 27. That'll be the first passage that we're going to look at in our study this morning. Matthew chapter 27. For those of you who were in the auditorium Bible class this last hour, you'll be opening your Bibles back up to Matthew chapter 27. In our study in the life of Christ, we are progressing on through the trial that Jesus is going through before Pontius Pilate. And I thought this would be a good time for us to take a moment and to consider this man, Pontius Pilate. I believe he serves as a good example for us of a man who is void of character. We sometimes hear the phrase that character counts, and indeed it does. Oftentimes when we are around those who are of good character, it goes unnoticed. Oftentimes, where we see character, or we see the importance of character shown in the lives of individuals, is when it is lacking. We are living in a culture, in a society, that is lacking character being shown by many people. People who are trusted lie as if it is nothing. It comes naturally to them. There's no respect for others shown by some, no respect for their reputation, no respect for their property, no respect for their lives. The heritage of our country means nothing to many people around about us today. No respect for the authority of our leaders and for our law enforcers. No fear of God and no respect for those who do fear God. We suffer as a nation, as a country, as a result of a lack of character shown by people around about us. Pontius Pilate was a man, who was deficient in character. And by looking at what we know of Pilate, and what we know of Pilate really is limited to the few hours around our Lord's crucifixion, but looking at him as he appears for this brief moment in history, I think we get a good look at a man who is void of character, and how that lack of character was shown and how it resulted in the crucifixion of our Lord, or at least it was an element that was involved in the crucifixion of our Lord. I want to look at five things that shows Pilate's lack of character. Number one, Pilate gave others the right to make his decisions. Pilate was the Roman governor in Judea. He was placed there by Caesar. He was placed there by Rome in order to keep the peace there and in order to represent Rome and also to act as one who would be a governor, one who would make decisions in important matters that were brought before him. Jesus, on this Friday morning, this man named Jesus is brought before him, one that the Jews are very upset with, and a crowd has gathered there around the praetorium. And Pilate soon discovers this is not going to be an easy decision for him to make. In the midst of these events as they unfold, Pilate makes a grave mistake, a mistake that causes him to lose control over this whole incident, and that is he gave the Jews the right to make his decision concerning what would happen to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 through 17, says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?'" The Jews did not appreciate the Romans being there in Judea. The Jews did not appreciate the fact that Rome was over them. And although Rome had power to enforce itself and to enforce its will upon all the subject peoples around about them, they instead operated in another way. They allowed Israel, they allowed other peoples to govern themselves to a certain extent. They placed governors there in their territory, but they knew that it was to their best interest to allow those governors to work peacefully with the people so that there could be a peaceful coexistence, so that there would be peace in the empire. one way that Rome could make for better relations with the Jews is that at this important feast day, at the feast of Passover, make a gesture that showed kindness to the Jews by allowing them to choose one prisoner who would get a pardon and who would be released. And Pilate was accustomed to doing this, and now it was time to do this. And Pilate thought, you know, if I give him a choice between this man Jesus, who really has just upset the chief priests, he's not doing anything evil, he's not a threat to the people. If I give him a choice between this fella and Barabbas over here, who the Gospels tell us was a murderer and a thief and the ringleader of murderers and thieves, they're not going to want this fella released back to them. They're not going to want him walking the streets. He's a danger to them. I'll just let them decide. Which one do you want me to deliver unto you? And Pilate believed that the Jews would make the right decision. And that they'd say, well, if it's between these two, we'd rather have Jesus released to us. And then Pilate say, all right, he's released. And that'd take care of the whole matter. And he doesn't have to deal with it any longer. The problem, though, was that while Pilate was inside talking with Jesus, the chief priests and the elders were circulating throughout the crowd that had gathered there and poisoning their minds against Jesus. You look down in verse 20, it says, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. If Pilate had tried this the day before, or maybe even just hours before, the crowd, it would have been what we call a no-brainer. Jesus. Release Jesus to us. But now, he has given them the choice to make for him, and they have made the wrong decision. And Pilate's going to have to pay for it. Pilate loses control of this situation. In looking at this lesson and preparing it for this Sunday, this past week, on one of these reality shows, The X Factor, one of the judges declined to make her decision about one of the contestants, remember, and decided to let the audience make it, and this little girl collapses on stage and starts bawling, which indicates she probably didn't belong there in the first place. And then there was all this fallout about this judge. She didn't make the decision she was supposed to make. She gave somebody else the right to make that decision, and she ends up paying for it. Pilate did something similar 2,000 years ago. Pilate was put there in Judea to make these kinds of decisions. And in order to absolve himself of it all, he says, no, you go ahead and you make it for me, and I'd be interesting to see the look on his face when they cried out, we want Barabbas. What about this Jesus then? Crucify him. Kill him. Put him to death. Human nature ought to tell us that it is a dangerous thing for us to trust in others to make our decisions for us. I remember a number of years ago talking with an older sister in Christ who sat on a jury. And she said, as a result of that experience, there's absolutely no way she wants to be tried by a jury of her peers. She doesn't trust others her age to make the right decision concerning her fate. And she may be wise in that decision. We know Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. If we can't even trust ourselves to make the right decisions for us, how can we trust someone else to do it? In the book of Psalms, in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, interesting place to find this admonition, but it's found here in the midst of the Psalms. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. In Psalm 146 and at verse 3, it says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Pilate did just that. Pilate trusted this group of the Jews, this crowd of the Jews, to make the right decision, and they didn't, and it fell back on him. And this is where he began to lose control of this situation. We will suffer the same fate when we allow others to make decisions for us. When we allow others to make our decisions, we are actually giving up control of our own lives. When we allow the world to dictate to us and to tell us how we're going to live, and how we're going to act, and how we're going to talk, and how we're going to think, and how we're going to dress, we're slowly, bit by bit, losing control of our own lives, aren't we? That shows a lack of character, a lack of substance, a lack of strength to stand up for ourselves and to make our own decisions. That's a lack of character. And Pilate showed it, and that's where everything began to go wrong. Another thing that Pilate did that showed his lack of character was the fact that he sought to please the people. Now, this isn't unexpected on Pilate's part. I mean, after all, he is a politician. And like any politician, Pilate was by nature a man pleaser. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 15, and at verse 15, it says, "So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified." Why was Barabbas released and Jesus delivered to be crucified? Because Pilate couldn't afford to upset the Jews. He sought to please the people. The Jews knew that their governor could be replaced. They knew that they had no choice about Rome being there in the first place, but they knew that the governor himself, personally, he could be replaced. If they threw a big enough fit, if they rejected his authority, if they threatened to break out into a mob riot, word could get back to Rome that this Pilate fella can't handle things here, and they'd send somebody else. Pilate knew that he could be replaced. He couldn't afford to allow things to get out of control. And they were about to. If we go back to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, it says, Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. I mean, there was a roar going on in that crowd. Pilate knew that things were on the verge of getting out of control, and he couldn't afford that. He had to appease the crowd. Now, Pilate knew that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. Pilate knew that the reason Jesus was brought before him was because the chief priests and the elders were envious of him, were envious of his popularity among the people. Pilate didn't want to give the Jews the pleasure of taking this thorn out of their side. He enjoyed the fact. He probably enjoyed the fact that the leaders of the Jews were upset by Jesus. But he couldn't allow this to go any further. He couldn't take the chance of this getting out of control. His desire to please others made him vulnerable to compromise. And he set a murderer free and had an innocent man beaten and sent to the cross, to crucifixion. That's a lack of character. A lack of character. Instead of standing up for what was right and taking whatever consequences may come, he gave in and allowed an innocent man to be put to death. A desire to please others at all cost is in fact evidence of cowardice and fear. An unwillingness on our part to stand up for what we believe in, to stand up for what is right. When we seek to please men at the cost of truth and righteousness, we've given in to fear and we lack character. A person of character is going to do the right thing regardless of the consequences. In the book of Galatians at chapter 1, The book of Galatians was written to churches in an area where Paul had gone. He had done work there. He had taught them. He had established these churches. Then after he left, there were some others who came in behind him and taught false doctrine. These were Judaizing teachers who taught these Gentile Christians that they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. They'd say, well, Paul never said that while he was here. And then they would respond by saying, well, Paul's not really an apostle. He's not a genuine apostle, and you really shouldn't be listening to him. And so the book of Galatians is written. It's a very urgent letter. It reads, it's a very emotional letter. If you take the time to read through it and read where Paul is coming from, a very emotional letter. He's writing to them and pleading with them not to turn their backs on his work and not to turn their back on the gospel that they've heard. Verse 10 in chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I tell you, we look at the apostles today and we admire them for their work. And we put them up on somewhat of a pedestal. I'm confident of that. But that wasn't the case in the first century. Their work wasn't easy. They weren't appreciated everywhere that they went. And Paul says, you know what? If it was about pleasing people, if it was about making people happy, I wouldn't dare be an apostle of Jesus Christ. It took courage for Paul to do what he did. It took courage for him to say what he said and for him to take the stand that he took again and again and again. Paul's life was not about pleasing people. Paul's life was about pleasing the Lord. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, men and women of character do what is right, not because it's popular, but because it's right. And they suffer whatever consequences come as a result. People of character do what is right, regardless of who it pleases or who it upsets. Am I a person of character? Or am I like Pilate? Am I just wanting to please people? Third, Pilate's lack of character is shown in the fact that he refused to take responsibility for his sentence that he passed down on Jesus. They wanted Jesus put to death. Pilate knew he was innocent. He knew that he was not deserving of death. But he also knew that he personally couldn't afford to give in. And that this was not a battle that he was going to risk his future as a governor upon. So he gave in to the Jews. He gave them what they wanted. But before he passed sentence, he made a gesture before them in which he attempted to absolve himself of any guilt in this wrongdoing. Again, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, we started reading a moment ago, when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. Take a look at what Pilate is doing. Pilate is standing here before the Jews. He's telling them Jesus is innocent. And by going through the gesture of washing his hands before them, didn't have anything to do with hygiene. It was a gesture in which he was condemning them for condemning an innocent man, although he was the one who was passing sentence. Now look at the inconsistency here. Look at the hypocrisy here. Pilate was a man who was put in Judea by Rome to make these very kinds of decisions. And he's standing before them saying, I'm not responsible for this decision. You want him dead, I'll allow him to dead, but I'm innocent of this matter. Look at what he's doing. Here's a man who is innocent. I believe he's innocent. I'm going to let him be crucified as a lawbreaker, but I'm not guilty. A lack of character. A pathetic lack of character. Well, friends, how many times are you and I guilty of the same thing? Maybe on a much lesser scale. Maybe it doesn't involve the life of an innocent person. But how many times are we guilty of condemning sins in others while washing our own hands? and saying we're all right. We don't have anything in our life that needs correction. We don't have anything in our life which we need to feel guilty about. How many times are we guilty of this same thing? Pilate refused to take responsibility when, in reality, he had the power. He had the authority to make this decision and to make it stick. In John, in chapter 19, in John's account of this trial, in this hearing before Pilate, Pilate takes Jesus aside and tells him, John chapter 19 and verse 10, then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" See, Pilate knew that he had authority. He knew that he had the power to let Jesus go. He simply chose not to, and then tried to absolve himself of the whole matter with that symbolic gesture. It's interesting, as you read through this account, as we're studying through it in our class, Pilate from the very beginning doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. They bring Jesus bound before Pilate. Pilate looks out, says, "What has he done? What's the charge?" And they say, "Well, if he hadn't done anything wrong, we wouldn't bring him to you." And Pilate responds, "You take care of it. I don't want anything to do with it." When he finds out that he is from Galilee, Herod's from Galilee, that's his jurisdiction, Herod's in town, "Take him to Herod. Let Herod take care of this." Herod sends him back. Jesus says, "All right, who do you want me to release to you? You want me to release Jesus? You want me to release this murderer and thief Barabbas?" And then here he is washing his hands. Time and time again, throughout this brief account, it's clear Pilate doesn't want to take responsibility for what is happening here. That shows a lack of character. And although we may not be governors, and we may not be making a decision regarding life and death, we all have responsibilities in our everyday lives that at times are undesirable. And it might be nice for us to just wash them away at the sink. If we're of an age of accountability, we are responsible before God. And that's not always a pleasant thought. And that's not always a pleasant thing. But we can't just wash it off. If we're married, we have a responsibility to our spouse. If we're parents, we have a responsibility to our children. If our parents are still alive, we have a responsibility to them to help them through old age. And sometimes those responsibilities, they're not easy. They're hard. They're difficult. But men and women of character don't try to run away from them. They don't try to wash their hands. They don't try to take pills or to drink or whatever it may be, get in a car and simply drive away. Men and women of character stand up and say, "Here I am. I'll make the hard decision." Men and women of character are accountable. And they are responsible. The fourth sign that Pilate had a lack of character is the fact that Pilate, throughout this account, is motivated by pride. Everything that he does is about himself. He sought to release Jesus, not necessarily because he knew that Jesus was an innocent man, but because he knew that it would anger the Jews. He didn't care anything about justice or Jesus or the Jews. In the end, the decision to crucify Jesus was made in the best interest of Pilate. Pilate could not afford to let Jesus go. In order for Pilate to stay where he was as governor, Jesus would have to go and be executed. You see how bad things get whenever we insist that the world revolve around us. The Bible warns against pride, Proverbs 21 and at verse 4, "A haughty look, a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked are sin. There are so many sins, the Bible warns us, so many sins that are connected with pride or that are caused by pride. In Proverbs 16 and at verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4 verse 6 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You see, insisting that the world revolve around us and making every decision in our own best interests is a result of pride. Little babies, little precious babies are the most self-centered things I've ever seen in my life. Do you not agree? When they want to eat, they let everybody know about it. When they need cleaned up, they let everybody know about it. And when they want to go to sleep, they don't mind letting everybody know about it. And as long as they're all right, everything else is all right. But when one of those three things goes wrong, boy, those little lungs can fill up and just explode, can't they? Somewhere along the line, we put up with it when they're babies, of course, but somewhere along the line, as mamas and daddies, we've got to get them away from this everything revolves around me idea. And there have been a lot of parents who have failed to do that because our society today is filled with a lot of adults who are acting just like little screaming babies. When things aren't going their way, they let everybody know about it. That's a lack of character. That's a terrible lack of character when people are self-centered. What did Jesus teach us when he was asked the question about what's the greatest commandment? You put God first. You put your neighbor second. Third is the highest you can get. But yeah, we've got a lot of people today that it's all about them. When we make the world revolve around us, look at what happens as a result. How many injustices occur? How many things go uncorrected because we are not willing to expend ourselves and give up of ourselves in order to help someone else, in order to stand up for someone else, in order to insist, no, this man is innocent, and I'm not about to put him to death. And you can go ahead and rebel if you want to, but I've got an army, and you'll have to pay for it if you do. Pilate could have taken that course, but he didn't. He didn't want any word getting back to Rome that anything happened. It was all about Pilate. It was a terrible lack of character. And then finally, Pilate's lack of character is shown in the fact that he had no concern whatsoever for the truth. In John chapter 18, when Jesus is talking with Pilate inside the praetorium, Jesus says that he came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Jesus said, "I've come to bear witness to the truth." Pilate said, "What is truth?" And just exactly what motivated that response by Pilate, the tone of his voice, the look on his face, we don't know and we're never going to know. There may be some different things that we do know about Pilate that might have brought about this response on his part. We know, number one, Pilate was a politician. We've already made mention of that. And like many politicians of our day, Pilate probably didn't place a high value on the truth. He was interested in what was politically expedient. The joke goes, how do you know when a politician is lying to you? His lips are moving. And we understand that about politicians of our day, by and large. Well, that probably was the case with Pilate as well. Who cares about truth? What's the best thing here for me? For my posturing of myself and my office. Pilate came from a Greco-Roman world, which we understand from Acts chapter 17, was permeated with philosophy. The people in Athens didn't do anything but just sit around and listen to hear something new. Truth was doubted and debated back then in the first century Roman world, just like it is today. There was a toleration of a diversity of ideas concerning the truth. And then here comes Jesus saying, I am the truth. And Pilate says, that sounded like foolishness to me. What is truth? We hear it debated every day. I'm not even going to start this with you. Turns around and walks out. Pilate was a man of his time. The Romans were pagans. And although they had many different gods, history shows that they really weren't loyal to any of them. They were skeptics, and they were indifferent and cold and arrogant. That defines the Roman individual of the first century. Pilate was a Roman. Who cares about truth? That's not what I'm concerned with. Perhaps the idea of absolute truth sounded just as ridiculous to Pilate then as it does to many of our friends and neighbors today. What do you mean you've got the truth? Truth is what we decide it is. Maybe that was Pilate's idea. Maybe he was fed up with a search for the truth. We meet people like that today, don't we? Oh yeah, I've read the Bible, I've been to this church and that church, and you can have them all. I don't care anything about that anymore. Isn't that disheartening when you encounter people like that today? Maybe that was the case with Pilate. Whatever it was that motivated his response, one thing we do know for sure, he didn't care enough to know about the truth, because after he said it, what did he do? He turned and he walked away. Jesus says, I've come to bear witness to the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Turned and walked away. He didn't care. A lack of concern for the truth is a lack of character. If we don't care enough to get the facts before we proceed in forming an opinion about someone, or forming an opinion about an idea or about a decision, if we don't care enough to get the facts, to get the truth, what does that say about our character? What does it say about who we really are? The book of Proverbs tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. Is that our attitude towards the truth? Whether it be the truth that is found in God's Word, or the truth about somebody's life, the truth about the facts in a case. You see, when we don't care about the truth, that shows our lack of character. Now, we don't care about that which makes men free. The truth shall set us free. Pilate was a man who lacked character through and through. He gave others the right to make his decision. He sought to please the people above all other things. He refused to take responsibility. He was motivated by pride, and he could care less what the truth is. Now we look at Pilate, and we see his lack of character, and we form our opinion of him, and I believe rightly so. But what we need to do as we're studying someone like Pilate is we need to turn it around, and we need to look at ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're not guilty of the same thing. Are we allowing others to make our decisions for us? And children, I don't mean that you need to tell your parents to quit making decisions for you. As long as you're living at home, that's their right as a parent, and that'd be your right as a parent one day. I mean, are you allowing your peers to decide what kind of language you're going to be using? Are you allowing the people at work to decide what kind of stories and jokes you're going to be telling? Are you allowing the world to tell you how to live? Or are you standing up for what you know to be right? It's a matter of character. Are you seeking to please the people at all costs, or are you willing to pay the price to stand up for what you believe is right? Are you going to take responsibility for your actions? Are you always going to find someone else to blame it on and say, hey, it wasn't me. It's not my fault. Are you motivated by what you can get out of life or what you can give to help others? And what's your attitude towards the truth? We need to think about these things as we're taking a look at Pilate. One more thing I want you to think about, and then this lesson will be over. Pilate was a real man. This isn't make-believe. Pilate wasn't made up by the apostles as some kind of a villain to blame the death of the Lord upon. Pilate was a real man. There was in Caesarea, archaeologists discovered some time ago, a tablet that has his name inscribed upon it. Pilate really lived. Now, here's an interesting fact. We don't know much about Pilate before that morning that Jesus was brought before him. History doesn't tell us a lot about Pilate. We don't know a lot about his background, who his parents were, where he grew up, where he went. We don't know a lot about his past. And what happened to Pilate after he sent Jesus to be crucified is the subject of conflicting ideas and rumors and traditions. What we do know about Pilate falls within a gap of just a few hours. That was the defining moment in his life. And he failed miserably. I have no doubt that Pilate woke up that morning. He probably thought it was going to be a day just like any other day. He probably didn't have a clue that the very Son of God was going to be brought before him and he was going to have to make a decision as to whether or not he was going to be put to death. He just got up that morning, received word that the Jews wanted his audience, and he stepped out and looked down, and there was Jesus, and pretty soon he's asking, "What am I going to do with this man?" And just like that, he had to make a decision. And it defined who Pilate was for the rest of time. He had to draw on the reservoir of who he really truly was in that defining moment. And I want to suggest to you this morning that each and every one of us, we're going to have to face a time like that in our own lives as well. Maybe it's not going to be questioning concerning whether or not someone lives or dies. But each and every one of us, if we haven't done so already, we're going to wake up and out of the blue, we're going to be hit with a decision that we don't know. We're not going to have the time to sit and think it through. We're simply going to have to react. And the way we react to that decision is going to say a lot about our character and whether we have it or whether we don't. It's in times like that that we have to draw on our reservoir of who we really truly are and what we really and truly believe. And that's why it's important that in times like this right now, when we can sit, when we can think, when we can study, that we make the determination that we're going to do what is right and we're going to stand up for what is right regardless of what may happen. So that tomorrow when we wake up and we're faced with the tragedy, we can make the right decision. And we'll be remembered as men and women of character. And what more really could be said for children of God than that we're men and women of character? Let's not be like Pilate. Let's be like the Lord, who didn't allow others to make decisions for him, who didn't seek to please the people, who accepted responsibility for what he did, who was not motivated by pride, but came as a servant to serve others, and who was the embodiment of truth. Let's follow his example, and let's be men and women of character. Maybe this morning you're ready to become a child of God. It doesn't say very much about one's character to know that a Savior has died for them, and they refuse to accept the benefits of that death. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to act on that, and you know you do. You need to confess your faith in Him, repent of your sins, and be baptized to have those sins washed away. Don't put that off any longer. Do what is right. Get your life right with God. If we can help you, let us do so. Let us know about it by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.